You've stopped in at the Guidepost, brought to you by the American Saltwater Guides Association. Stock up on gear, grab a coffee at the counter, and get ready to hear incredible fish stories from the best captains on the East Coast and thought-provoking conversations with stakeholders and policymakers working to protect these fisheries. This podcast is presented by Costa Sunglasses.
Tony, happy Sunday, my friend.
Happy Sunday, Cody.
How you living? We got a little behind the scenes deep dive we're going to do today. Going to give people a little insight into what's coming up in, less than 2 weeks now in Vero Beach, Florida. And, you know, I think what happened last year at what we're going to talk about was incredible. We're all really proud of it. And I think the worst part about it was that, you know, there's so many people we care about and so many people within our space, advocates, brands, whatever, who are all spread out around the country who didn't get to experience it. So we're going to do a little bit of a deep dive today on Lefty Craze Tie Fest, explain what's coming up. Anything you want to jump into real quick on the fisheries front? Anything you want to throw a minute at, or you want to keep it all Tie Fest as we roll through here?
Rhode Island Albion Bonito meeting is next week. Well, that state advisory council, and then it'll go to the director's office. So we appreciate everyone spending time on those hearings and all that kind of fun stuff. And yeah, we'll let everyone know how it goes. I can't.
For anyone who didn't listen, we just had an amazing win in South Carolina. Meaning the recreational fishing community. But we just did a podcast on that. So last episode, if you want to learn more about that, just go listen to the last episode. But why don't we take a deep dive in? I'll lay the foundation real quickly for those who are not aware. Lefty Craze Tie Fest was an event that happened for many, many moons while I was a young lad. Via our good friend Tony here in the local community up in Maryland. And there were a handful of things that led to it taking a little bit of a hiatus. And we brought it back last year. The shortest possible way to tell the story is that, you know, we started to lose some legends, and Tony and Blaine and some of us were having a conversation about how do we continue to give all these legends their flowers while they're still here and make sure that what they believe, what they've learned, how they view the world, how they studied, how they explored is passed on to the next generation. We were throwing around some different ideas about an event and basically fell on, man, why don't we bring Tie Fest back? Fast forward a couple weeks and like a, you know, a single snowflake becoming like a 10-foot snowball going down a hill towards a city. All of a sudden you have the legend himself, Carter Andrews, saying, I'll host this thing in Vero. And then you have Yeti, an iconic and legendary brand, saying, well, we'll throw down and cook barbecue for everyone.
Yeah,
and
we'll feed everyone.
Yeah.
So, Cody, my memory is a little different. So this is what happened, my memory.
For those listening, Tony has memory loss issues, so he's going to talk about unicorns.
I do have some memory loss issues. My wife will attest to that. Here's what really happened by my memory. Bob Popovich died. Blaine and I met each other at the wake because it was a private funeral. And we were standing in the parking lot and the line was about like a quarter of a mile long to even get into the building. And the parking lot turned into like a de facto reunion. And Blaine and I were sitting there, and we were obviously not in the best of spirits. And he looked at me, and I looked at him, and he goes, hey, man, a lot of people are dying. And then we went back to the hotel, and I was having a beer with Blaine and Jay Nichols. And Blaine looked at me, and he goes, you got to bring Tie Fest back. And I said, no, I don't. And then Blaine brought it up to the broader group that we work with. And I said, okay, sure, I'll do it. And I gave everyone this incredible, like the 10 Herculean tasks. Like I was like, nobody will ever do it. And I'm like, find a place, find some of the food, do this, do that. You know, it wasn't working out in Maryland. And I just figured that'd be the last I heard of it. About a week later, every single thing that I said was done.
Gotcha.
And I was like, oh God, they did it. And then that was it. That was the sign from above. So that's my recollection of it.
But I love it. That's the more personal and detailed version. And then you fast forward to last April, and the event is, one, something I think that pushed some of us to the brink of death with how massive it was and how small of a team we have. But, you know, everyone goes 225% balls to the wall. We pull this thing off, and it's one of the most, you know, it's probably, I don't know if I have anything in my professional career that's not policy related that I'm more proud of, like as far as a reflection, not just of how many people attended. That's not what this thing is. How it went, the spirit of the event, and how people participated, and the like guys that I've looked up to for 15 plus years that I've known of them, that have been in this industry for 40, 50, 60 years, showing up and just showing up with so much humility, buying in, complete and total buy-in to the mentality and what was the thesis behind the event, and you have something incredible. So,
yeah, Cody, I want to say one thing is, like, nothing could make me happier than to see a whole new group of people understanding what the event is about, and like y'all included, like the whole ASGA team included, because I really did this thing by myself. Mm-hmm. Wasn't on this scale, you know, didn't have the buy-in of like Yeti being like, hey, we're gonna invite a world famous chef and cook for 200 people, you know, nothing like that. But I did it by myself because I learned over time that there just weren't a lot of people that you could count on when you're doing something that you're so passionate and kind of, and it ended up just being faster if I just did it myself. And it's this year, it's the furthest thing from doing it by myself. Like, there's so many people bought in. I mean, really, you know, obviously, you know, Sue's not on the podcast and we talk about her a lot, but you know, Cody and Blaine have stepped up so big, and you know,
Blaine's been crushing it, crushing it in the community. He is a dot connector in the most proficient way, and really making some magical stuff happen. And then also, not just this, I think this is important and worth noting too, because a lot of people are know Blaine and know people like Blaine just because they watch from afar, right? They see him on social, they've read his book, whatever, stuff like that. But when you know these people as a human and you see how they're doing it, this is not Blaine saying like, hey, brand X, I've worked with you for a bunch of years, I need a pair of sunglasses to
go.
This is like, this is what we're doing, and we need you to buy in. This is the spirit of the event, and we're seeing it translate to brands coming to the table in a major way, in the appropriate way as well. It's not, well, how many sunglasses am I going to sell there? And I'm not throwing Costa or B or any sunglass brand on the bunch, just an example. But, you know, you're seeing brands be like, well, this is the spirit of the event. Well, this person that we work with is incredibly legendary, and we're so proud of his impact on fly fishing. We're going to fly him in from North Dakota.
You know what other cool thing is like, I think a lot of the other shows, and I don't organize the other shows, but not even fly fishing shows, just trade shows in general. The people behind the booth are kind of like dancing monkeys. Like, it's not really fun for them a lot of times.
Right. Because I've been that monkey. That's why
Cody can speak first
hand about that. I was that monkey for many years. Yes.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's like, yeah, it's cool. And like, but like this event, they just walk out of their booth, man. And like, oh, they're like, oh my God, I can't believe I saw you. And then they just sit down and start talking to people. It's like, we put there's no rules. If you want to sell something, sell something. If you're a fly tire, if you're an artist, if you're a rod company, like, we don't care. Make it worth your while. And then instead of like some of the other shows, when it goes to like, you know, wherever, I don't know, I'm going to pick a place where there might not be Omaha, Nebraska, where there might not be a fly fishing show, so I don't hurt anyone's feelings. It's like, that's where, like, you know, the attendees see each other. And for ours, I think the vendors and the brands and everything really appreciate it because it is so low key that they're not working the whole time and they can actually chill, and it's actually personal. Fun.
Yeah. It's personal. And that's what, like, when we talk to some of the brands, when I have a call with brand representative X and they say, well, you know, this is our first time coming. We missed it last year. We heard so many good things. We're coming this year. What I tell them is like, man, it's like a flea market setup, but you're not going to have 10,000 people coming through all day. Hey, you want to buy a pair of sunglasses? Hey, you want to buy a pair of sunglasses? This is like Johnny and Timmy walk up and they're like 13 years old and they're, oh my gosh, is that Ben Wally? I've been following him for forever.
Yeah.
And then they stay in the booth and they ask him a million questions. And while they're there, the turtle box who Ben's with gets to give him a sticker and say, hey, check out these speakers. Like, it's so authentic. It's talking to a rep from TFO and then they say, well, if you like it, let's go cast it right over here. And you just walk across in the line and get your hands on. You know, it's not a, well, here's the 10 details about our rod. It's let's go cast it. And, oh, by the way, there's the pro who helped design it. You know, Blaine was involved with the design. Why don't you go ask him why this is a
Yeah, and like, problem. Hey, man, you want to grab a beer and let's sit down and talk about how I came up with this idea. So the other two things, people who've never been or are thinking about going, is like, we thread a whole bunch of needles with this. And one of the needles that we thread is, yes, it's so important that people come and meet these heroes of theirs. And by and large, what you're going to find is they're better than whatever idea you had in your head. Like if you're a jerk, you don't really last at Thai Fest. Like you just don't. So it's just like all these people and you're like, holy shit, how do I get into the fun bunch? And you see Rob Fordyce talking to Andy Mill, talking to Brandon Sear, talking to Benny Blanco, Paul, and like Paul Bruhn, like the OGs of the OGs, and all these people are talking. And then, like, you feel like you're on the outside looking in, and like you learn really quickly. You just walk up and talk to them, and they're totally cool. So that's one part where you want to meet them, see what they're really like, talk to them. But the other part is bringing up the next generation. So, like, I'm equally as excited about, you know, seeing all these people that are just, you know, Carter Andrews and television shows and, like, you're just that, you know, larger-than-life characters. And then you find out they're cool. But it's also, like, we look at the kids who are doing it right, the younger people, and we want to elevate them. Because maybe they've never met Andy Mill, but they tie a sick tarpon fly. And maybe they don't know Blaine, but, you know, are wondering how Blaine kind of navigated all this over the last 30 years. So you bring the right young people in, you bring the right legends, the true legends in, and then, you know, because the legends want to teach, right? That's really in their heart. They want to pass on what people taught to them when they were younger. So when they see a young person who's just firing on all cylinders and gets it, they're just nothing but helpful. And then they stay friends forever, right? Dude, we have the funniest stories from last year, like some characters. I'm not going to say who, but like some characters. And like 2 months after the show or 3 months after the show, they're like, yeah, man, did you know that so-and-so, the first time they met was at Thai Fest 2 months before. Did you know that so-and-so flew up to see so-and-so in like the backcountry woods and they fished together for a week and now they're like best friends? And I'm like, get the like, no way.
Yeah.
No way.
I know.
And they're like, nope, it's true. And I'm like, I couldn't have seen that coming. And I've seen everything. It's just funny, man. So, like, what I'm telling you is if people are, you know, in Florida and they're on the fence and haven't heard of it before, like, just, man, just give it a chance. Go be yourself. And you'll walk away and be like, I'm coming back next year.
And Tony, I think you hit the nail on the head perfectly, which is you meet people and they always say don't meet your heroes, right? And when I moved across the country and got this incredible job at Costa a decade ago and got to be the pro program manager and meet all these incredible pros, freshwater bass series, the top of the top on the fly, guides and anglers and world travelers and TV show hosts and offshore crews and with about 90-something% consistency to this rule, whoever said don't meet your heroes is an idiot. Now, there's a few that you meet along the way that you go, that guy might have a successful show or that guy might, you know, have this many world records. That guy sucks. I mean, he's an asshole. And for those couple, that applies and it just is what it is. They made it their way and they weren't a great person along the way or whatever. But the reality is, like you said, those type people aren't at this event. Every single one of the people there, you can look at all the names and you can imagine how much it costs to get a day in the boat with them or travel with them or strike a brand deal with them. Everyone was there. You know, some people worked with the company and said, hey, man, I want to be at this. You mind covering my flight if I can go or whatever, some stuff like that. But no one was there to make money. None of the legends, the pros, they were all there. A bunch of them were like, the first year we were hosting, said, oh my God, I can't believe these guys want to attend this. This is incredible. Like, they're going to be such an anchor. Never heard a peep from them. They showed up early and they just worked. When I say worked the community like dogs until the sun went down. I mean, they were invested. They're not sitting there going,
Fordyce, Fordyce was covered in sweat.
He was working.
It was a warm day and he just running. He just running back and forth. Yep. You know, and like a showman, like, yep. I mean, telling everyone, you know, had just telling everyone every single
in a
thing
way that, like, oh my God, I've never thought of that. You know, yeah. Like, that's the type of stuff that he would be talking about at a fly shop and probably quiet down if someone walked in. And he's having these honest conversations. And I think that's from the spirit of the four founders. You know,
yeah,
he saw
it's
tough ass dudes
nailed
who
it.
Are like,
yeah.
You don't want to cut off on a flat because if they're in the parking lot when you get back to your trailer, you're going to want to like run screaming and yelling mommy. And those people were tearing up at a table saying, I'll never forget Lefty. I'll never forget these people that impacted me. And here's what they meant to me. And here's what I want to do. I mean, just that spirit was so strong around the event.
You may not want to meet your mats. You know, I think the proportion of, you know, unsavory folks with bad attitudes is pretty low as far as like the legends go in fly fishing.
Definitely.
They all, you know, look, we're all very similar. Like, all have very similar personality traits. That's no point in getting into. And if you put 500 of us in the same room and we all, you know, those are all people that paid their dues or want to pay their dues the right way. And then all of a sudden it's like, I don't know. You feel like you have this freaking national community. I mean, we're beating this up, but here's the deal. Like, they're accessible. They're kind. The legends. And all they want to do is share what they know. And they know a lot. And then the younger people, they're hungry. They're doing, you know, cutting edge things with flies. They're traveling to cool places. And it's just, you know, it's just a community that, like, if you have a kid, if you have a son or a daughter that's, you know, under 14 and wants to get in the sport, I promise you they will be the most popular person in the room.
Also worth noting for anyone who's considering coming and has a kid under 14,
they're free.
They get in for free, right? That is the spirit of it. So not only if you're a dad and you got an 8-year-old son who wants to go or a daughter who wants to attend this. Not only do we encourage you to do that, we encourage you to text some of their friends' parents and say, hey, did Jimmy and Timmy and Tony and Cody all want to go? Load them all up in a car and bring the entire crew.
Hey, let's just machine gun them now that we're actually talking about the day of. So here, to build on that, to piggyback on what Cody said, Temple Fork is bringing those yarn rods.
Yeah, well, the office
rods,
yep.
Where you can teach a kid how to throw a fly rod pretty darn easy. And right. We're going to have that, you know, kind of running all day. The rod companies, we're trying to work out some type of casting pool for Carter's yard.
There's plenty of casting space, to be clear.
There's tons of casting space. But, you know, we're just trying to work stuff out. So more reasons to bring your kid. Cody, a third reason to bring your kid. So Cody and I are sitting here a couple of months ago, and we're, you know, waiting for that return call from Yeti. And, you know, just... Look, they did a lot and last year, and you cannot do these things and just expect somebody to match when they went so far above and beyond the year before. You know, that's a hard pace to keep up. And so we're talking to Yeti, and they were like, hey, how about we cook lunch for everyone, too? And then, for the happy hour, you know, right before the dinner, we're going to have celebrity bartenders. And celebrity drinks, and we're just like, are you sure? Like are you sure you're good with this? And they were like, no, this event was so, you know, I'm gonna paraphrase, this event was so great that, you know, we're looking at our 2026 to, you know, start looking at more events like this. That's how much fun we had.
Yeah.
And that's how valuable we think it was. And you're like, holy shit, I think we're doing something right. So just to get back to you, bring your kids. We're going to teach them how to cast. They'll meet the legends. Anyone who attends the day of, Yeti's going to make you lunch. And we have drinks.
Barbecue and lunch. I think they're doing like sausage and peppers and stuff. I don't know the exact final menu, but I heard sausage and peppers and all sorts of cool
stuff.
It'll
be good.
Like, Mike Shelley and his crew is like, when you eat, you go, holy sh-. There are people that prepare barbecue, and then there are like pit masters who are like, oh, that's the real deal. It's like being like, hey, I play basketball, and then there's someone in the NBA. Those are very different statements.
That's exactly
what
Shelley
is. Mike Shelley is that dude on the pit. I mean, just everything that came off, it was incredible.
Yeah. No. Yeah, so you're going to get free lunch. So, Cody, I think the other biggest attraction between the awesome people, the awesome vendors, everyone who's supporting us, is probably our seminars.
Yep.
So I think it would be cool to tell people like what the lineup is for them. And then probably when you get to the last seminar, we're going to have to explain this one a little bit.
Yeah, I think we got Rob. You can get some flats knowledge and general flying knowledge. I mean, we got Fordyce is going to throw down again. Brandon Sear, a young upcoming dude who is an absolute stud when it comes
to flats. So Fordyce, it's all about – Fordyce will stand on the bow of his boat, teach you how to cast to a fish, teach you how to fight a fish from the bow of a flats boat that's parked in Carter's yard. You will walk away knowing far more about flats fishing.
It's not even fair to give that talk a title. Like, we have to put together a little, you know, a little thing to promote these later. And I'm like, I don't know what to, just fly fishing would be like fly fishing expertise. You're going to get absolutely everything. And a lot of the same applies to Andy Mill, who, when Andy was talking, there's a gravity to certain people. When I yap,
for sure,
a couple people that care about fisheries might listen to me, and a couple people who don't might be like, shut this pasty white, you know, tall, lanky ass white boy up. Like, I'm sick of him yapping at me, right? There are certain people that when they talk, the room goes silent and everyone listens. Rob and Andy are two of those people.
Yeah, hey, look, Andy was the best skier in the world at one point. I mean, he is a professional athlete of the highest order, and he took all of that, the hand-eye coordination, you know, the dedication and discipline to learning a sport, you know, everything, any connection that you could make. And, you know, I think you're hard pressed to say that you could find a better tournament tarpon angler anywhere in the world. And I'm sure Andy would be thrilled if somebody surpassed him, but I'm just being honest. I'm not fluffing his pillows. Like,
he spends his entire time with his podcast and his son trying to point out all those other legends that he came up around, right? So a student of the game, a student of a committed to history and putting flowers on other legends, right? So Andy's the real deal. We got Rob, Brandon Sear, young upcoming dude out of the Keys who's already put together an incredible career, and he's in his early 30s.
Yeah, one thing that's really cool, Cody, another one is for anyone who's interested in, you know, kind of learning how to travel and like where to go.
Right.
If you, because that's always a big question. You're like, man, that's a lot of money. At least any. I mean, man, that's a lot of money. Like, how's the fishing? Do I got to get 50 shots for the itsy bitsy fly?
Am I ready for it?
Am I ready for it? Yeah.
This trip that's even appropriate, even if I have the money.
100%. So we're going to have a group of, you know, pretty renowned international travelers who kind of know the ins and outs. And I promise you, the first thing that they're going to say is what Cody said. If you're going to spend all that money and you're going to get the shot in your arm for, you know, so you don't die, like whatever, you should probably practice a lot at home. So you're ready.
Yeah.
Like, you don't want to get there and be like, so fellas, three weight work, you know,
you might want to pay attention to Rob and Andy and Brandon and Benny and these people at Thai Fest before you book the flight. That's probably a good order operations.
Yeah. And then we glossed over Sear real quick, but you're talking probably like a fifth or sixth generation conch, you know, Keys from the Keys. Dude grew up on the water, lives on the water, is one of the most highly sought after young guides down there. And, you know, has stacked wins on very, very famous Florida tournaments, permit, you name it, does it all. and is just an incredible, you know, he'll 30 years from now, if you're still alive, Cody, you'll be giving Brendan the Legends pass to Ty Fest. Like he's well on his way, you know, like.
And you talked about the spirit of like how this event is the transition between two eras, but I was actually just up in South Carolina. We were doing a little talking about Redfish. We went up to the Seaweed Weekend, did the Cast and Drafts event on behalf of ASGA. But Brandon was up there as a Free Fly Pro, one of the brands that'll have a booth at Ty Fest. And he did a full presentation, like a top to bottom. And that's not even as fishy of a crowd. Like for everyone that walks through that's a fly fisherman, there's also just someone who's, you know, a coastal you know, father and wife, you know, raising their kids on the coast in South Carolina. They like art. They like outdoors. They're learning whatever. And Brandon did an outstanding job alongside Benny Blanco, another world-class person and world-class human. But to see Brandon start to pick up some of these seminars, I, you know, knowing him as a good friend is like, this is that evolution, right? He knows so much and people are sought after, you know, like you said, time on his skiff to learn these things, but now making these things accessible in a way that is through the spirit of sharing and connectivity between the community. So really, really cool. And then the last one we'll throw on there, but I think we have to talk to her if she listens to this before we get a chance to talk to her, but she's an absolute sweetheart. Hillary Hutchison, another world-class human. And I'm going to throw that phrase around a lot, but it applies to these people. But Hillary did a great women's session. And we're hoping that she's going to be there and give that same opportunity. The one thing I learned really early on in my professional career in the recreational fishing industry is fishing doesn't need more men in positions designing products or telling women how to be women in the outdoor industry. Like there's something to be said for women having the opportunity to learn from a woman who's broke down boundaries and built an incredible an illustrious career. And so we always used to joke at like some of those stuff, but this at like for manufacturers, right? It's like you can tell when a manufacturer, oh, this is actually designed by women for women versus this is what a guy's idea of what a woman should do in the industry or wear in the industry or use as a product. And we want to give that opportunity to all the ladies who attend. Hey, go learn from a woman who's done it and she knows it and she gets it and she can explain in a far better way not only just the ins and outs of fly fishing and casting a rod, but also lots of stuff to do with travel and in the industry and all sorts of stuff. So the women's fly angling session will not be led by Tony, and thankfully he won't be wearing like, you know, I know many a woman who in the industry are just sick of companies being like, all right, this is our new product and the women's version is that same product in bright pink. We did it. We're now a multi-gender company. So hopefully Hillary takes us up on the opportunity to do so. By all accounts, she's going to be there. So you'll see, and I know it sounds a little bit tentative, you'll see everything finalized and launching this week as far as the exact times that each of these people are going to be speaking and such. But so far, you can get all the kids in for free, okay? You get access to all these incredible legends hand to hand. Walk up to them. Tony, I've been reading your books for 30 years. I'd love to ask you, blah, 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 blah. Okay. They'll sign the fly box, pass on a fly to the kids, da, 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 da. You can get lunch for free. All these seminars are included in it. So it's not like, well, you're in the door and now it's going to be $20 to walk over here to see Rob. No. You bought your ticket. You showed up and you checked in at check-in. You're in the tent, baby. Like you get access to every single thing and every single angle of this event until the tent shuts down. And then, I mean, it goes without saying, all the brands that not only make this possible. Tony, I'm going to walk through, I'm just popping up a diagram real quick and I'm going to give a rapid freestyle. And if you hear this brand on there, they're participating in some cool way, likely going to have a pro or a tire in their booth, likely doing some sorts of giveaways or something. Some are selling stuff, some aren't, some have raffles, whatever. But I mean, Patagonia, Sightline Provisions, Hardy Rods, we got Superfly Composites, Yellow Dog Travel going to be there, White Hole Lodge, Ruthless Handmade, Leatherworks, Yeti, obviously, Costa, Temple Fork Outfitters, Humminbird Minn Kota, Free Fly Apparel, Olakai, Duck Camp, Montana Fly Company, Sims, Nautilus, Psy Anglers. I mean, those are just some of the brands. We're going to have a couple skiff brands that's going to be new to this. We'll see a couple boats out front, which is going to be really cool. And then you just got Tyrus Rowe down the middle with a lot of people, like you said, legends, some who have been at TyFest 20 years ago, some who were new legends in the game but new to the first year in Florida. And then you got a bunch of people who, some of which have just been super committed, supportive of TyFest since we brought it back and supportive of ASGA. And they said, man, I really want to do it. I really want to do it. And just relentless pursuit of participation and in the right way. And some of those people are going to get the opportunity to tie this year. And then you obviously you have, you know, all the stable horses that people are excited to come see and learn from. So you'll see all those names keep rolling out. I'm not going to freestyle every single one right now because if I forget someone, I don't want them to feel like they're not represented or they're not getting the shine that they deserve. But you have TyFest all day. It gets to 4 o'clock. Things shut down. If you only bought your ticket for the day, it's $49. All the kids get in free, lunch included, like we talked about. Then you got to get off the property at 4. Get gone. From there, everyone who has a dinner ticket gets to stay on the property, and we kick off a happy hour. We got music. We got badass drinks from the Yeti crew. You're getting a new Rambler, a new whatever badass Yeti product that you could, you know, keep something cold for 10 years and then kill a bear with it if it attacked you while you're drinking. Gonna grab a Yeti drink, gonna grab a sip, listen to some music, and then we have a silent auction and a live auction and a big dinner get together throwdown. And the second half of it is a fundraiser. You know, we talk about this stuff. Everyone gets all weird about nonprofits and money and this and that, and rightfully so. Watching and there's only a certain amount of times. We've done 200 of these episodes. We almost always have a creative product, a new way for people to participate. This is one of the times of the year that we ask people, hey, we got some really cool opportunities to grab some stuff, a trip, a one of a lifetime type signed XYZ. And, you know, it's our chance to raise a bunch of funds for all the research we're doing. And that research, Tony's going to like, I think his beard has gotten grayer just on this podcast, thinking about the costs of these research. And every time we're on a call, my little marine science and marketing brains come on. And I'm like, oh, Tony, wait, did they just say that that receiver, you could hear the jacks if you drop it over the side of the boat and it's only $8,000? We need that. Like, so I know Tony struggles with the stresses of that, but the reality is these research projects are hundreds of thousands of dollars, take 2, 3, 4, 5 years, and this is our chance to fundraise.
Look, everyone thought we were crazy with the Albie and Benito thing.
No one cares about them.
We have multiple states adopting regulations. Yeah, it took a couple years, man. Yeah, that's guess what?
We have foundational science.
Welcome to reality.
Foundational science for a species we care about now.
Yeah. And here's my question. Like, I don't know. Why are you making us do it? But here we are, right? So in any event, the proof's in the pudding. So, you know, now we have ground truth the process. And each one of these projects that we're doing is going to make a difference. Instead of being like, you know, hey, send us money, make a difference. Or like, hey, can you help us pay for this research? And it makes a difference. See what we did over here. Mm-hmm. So it's, I don't know.
I think it makes sense. Very intentional, right? That's been one thing I've preached with you through all the years we've worked together, Tony, is never once did we say, you know, even sometimes to the chagrin of people, you know, who's like, hey, man, we got to keep this machine rolling. We're not hammering down a 4-week campaign for Giving Tuesday every day, telling people why you should please give us money, give us money, give us money, give us money. No, we try to connect with people and build in a way that is super hands-on, right? Man, I didn't give $1,000 on Giving Tuesday to ASGA for the tax write-off, though that is still acceptable, and our COO would be mad if I didn't say that you're allowed to do that. But jokes aside, you know how people can contribute? Man, I brought a Jack Project hat. 100 people bought them. Suddenly that adds up. That covers the cost of a couple tags. I bought a Sightlines Provisions band, and I want to be able to track a Jack. I want to be a top contributor to this thing. You know, they bought those for $450. That's not a small price tag, right? But it gave people a way to, they get something really cool. They're a part of something. All of a sudden, 20, 30, 40 people do that, and you chip away at a big cost of this multi-year project. And this is one of those nights where there'll be drinks and laughs and many a joke. I think me and you are, I don't know if they're laughing at us or with us, Tony, when we're on the stage, but within the capacity of this event, both are okay. and both are encouraged. Every year we do this event and I get up on stage, I am some version of a new cripple. So last year I had a broken ankle. This year I have a broken right hand. So feel free to come and attend and make fun of me. If the dinner ticket is worth it just to heckle me for a couple hours, I invite you to do so as well. But you get this massive throwdown from Yeti. The food is top of the line. And it would be inappropriate for us to not call out that Patagonia stepped up in a major way. Their words, again, I'll paraphrase, but just in communications with their representatives was like, man, we're bummed we weren't there last year. We saw what happened. We know all the people that were there. We've worked with these people. They've been our pros for 20 years, 30 years, whatever. Like, you know, these people were involved in the designing of X, Y, and Z that's at the core of this stuff. Many of these people have known Yvon Chouinard and all the people at Patagonia for many years. And Patagonia stepped up and is the centerpiece sponsor for the dinner. So you're going to have all sorts of really cool things. You're going to have books that were sent from authors. You're going to have Patagonia gear, custom hats, all sorts of cool things waiting
for
you.
Hold on, man. Wait till you walk in, because any person in the room will appreciate this. And I mean, you want to talk about huge. So like, man, thanks to Yeti and Patagonia for stepping up so big. But we even have like smaller level companies like the Chocolate Factory.
Right.
And if you sit down, and you got to tell them about the book too, Cody, but when you sit down at dinner, there's going to be a thing in the middle with a game changer for each person who comes to the dinner to take home.
Quite literally, a game changer tree. There's a lit up tree in the middle of every table, and you can
have developed the game changer tree. And it has lights.
Yeah, so next year it'll be articulated. Really well. Blaine will be casting it next year, I'm sure, on an 11 weight. But you're getting flies to go home. I mean, again, this.
Imagine a lighted Alabama rig on a stand.
Yeah, exactly.
It's pretty much it's not filled with game changer flies.
An artist, Steven Weinberg, who I connected with a couple years ago. Actually, you know where I connected? This community is so small, as you know, but I connected with Steven at the All Species Tournament by Oxbow Brewing up in Maine. But this was probably maybe three tournaments ago, give or take. I got the opportunity to take him fishing a couple years ago, shortly after that that tournament down in Florida. And he's been working for the last couple of years on the fly fishing book. That's what it's called, An Artful Guide to Angling. And he is very talented. You know, Tony and I both hate artists because they remind us how untalented we are. So when you see someone like paint and you're like, wow, that looks exactly like the fish I just saw in the water. And then me and him like write our own first names and someone's like, are you having a stroke? Incredibly talented. The book is really cool. It's about the spirits of, you know, where fly fishing came from. There's a page that shouts out Lefty. There's a bunch of stuff involved. It's a really, really cool book. It doesn't even launch until this May. Everyone at dinner is getting a copy, which is really, really cool. And a note from Steven, he actually can't attend this year. But, I mean, the investment from the community that goes back into the community through this event is really, really incredible. So, there's even more. We have some stuff in the works that I don't want to shout out until we, you know, get buttoned up. I don't want to, put the cart in front of the horse with a couple other things. But there's a couple things that need to get buttoned up within the last 2 weeks that are some more surprises. Some of which will be, you walk into the dinner tent and you get surprised. And others will, you know, get promoted on social and stuff going into it. But dinner's going to be incredible. You're getting flies from Blaine. I mean, Blaine's flies, those are not 10-cent clousers. They are not import from Alibaba. Those are the real deal. Like, oh my God, I can't believe this fly looks the way that it does. And there's going to be 200 of them, one at every seat under the dinner tent. So going to be magical. We'll have music flowing. We've got trips to Canada and Bahamas and the White River in Arkansas, all sorts of cool stuff. We have a custom guitar from Paul Reed Smith Guitars, PRS Guitars, who he attended last year. I mean, iconic guitar designer, obviously. I'm sure all the musicians listening are like, PRS was there? That's freaking badass. He's not going to be there this year. I think he's traveling. But we have another autographed handmade guitar. I mean, like, this stuff is really unique. And ASGA Tony's whole career, my whole career, whatever, we've always been focused on doing things our way, you know, being ourselves. And we don't necessarily always fit the mold for a lot of things, and that's okay. But the reality is this event is a manifestation of the way that we view the world and all the people who view the world the same way we do. I mean, we've been talking for 40 minutes about the event. There's still so much to throw out there, Tony. What else? There, we do have a discount. If you're interested in a discount for active military and first responders, you can shoot an email to info.
Always, since the first TIE Fest.
Yep. So you can send info at Saltwater Guides Association to get access to, you know, the code and the information that you need to access that.
Or if you just, you know, buy a ticket the day of, just walk up.
Let us know.
Show the folks there, you know, your identification, and you got half price. And you get free lunch and all the other cool stuff, too. Right.
Thank you for your service to all those who do redeem that.
So this is the best way for me to put it. Sport means an awful lot to all of us for a variety of reasons. Some people, it's their psychiatrist. Other people, you know, it's the way they hold on to memories of friends and family that have passed. Other people just love it for what it is. You know, it's a pretty eclectic group of thoughtful mm-hmm. people who love this sport, and they're deep thinkers, and everyone kind of has their own reason. Mm-hmm. But if I had one hope, it's that every person that walks out of there goes away loving it a little bit more than when they walked in, and is encouraged to try new things, to get better at it, you know, to teach young people the right way, and to pass on, you know, all the knowledge that was passed to them. And that's, I swear to you, that's all the event is about. That's it. And it's just a way to take the best parts of the sport and to pass them on to new people.
Yep. And God forbid you don't get all the way around the bases with that, and you don't make all those, you know, connect all those dots. Well, hopefully you connect with someone who can join your journey and along the way get there with you too. Like you talked about, we had a really cool thing. We reached out to a local guide, said, hey, you know, we're going to need maybe this day. Can you help us out? We got some people in town, yada, 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 around the event. And very notably, that guide called out that the most important thing they got out of last year was the relationships, and a really heartfelt thank you for, man, the people that you connected me with through this event. You know, I've nurtured these relationships now a year out, and they're important to me in ways for my business, ways for my family, whatever. So to hear those type things, to see the friendships that come out of it, to see the, you know, camaraderie that comes out of it, That's what it's all about. I'm super excited. I can't wait to have my living room, my back room, and my office back, because we ship everything for this event through my entire house, and I am not a man of big means, so I'm excited.
When everyone lands, they just drive. They rent an SUV and drive to Cody's house.
It's included in your
caravan
ticket,
of priceless fly fishing things, electric guitars, and programs, you know,
cones, parking signs.
It's pretty funny. Like we kind of do this, you know, it's not a well-oiled machine, but we get it done.
Right.
That's probably the best way I can put it. We are not a professional event putter honors.
We don't have an event team. I mean, it's worth noting, all of us have done a million events already. Your professional career pales in comparison to mine, or I said that backwards, but you know, you've been doing events for a really long time. I've done a bunch in a short stint, but even so, all of us, while we're working on TIE Fest, are also working on all this policy stuff and all this community stuff. I mean, it's not like ASGA shuts down for 3 years while we try to make TIE Fest a reality. You know, it's all a part of what we're doing. So we're small and mighty. We appreciate the patience. But also, I think that's a little bit of, you know, the endearing nature of what this is the people, you know, and I say the people, not me and you, but everyone else that's involved in this that make it a reality, and how all these people play really cool roles. Some from near, I live here, I can help with X, some from afar. You know, we got people all over the country working on random little things here and there to contribute to TIE Fest. So I can't wait to have wait for it to all to go down. Last year I was anxious, you know, about it because we were putting so much into it. After seeing what it is now, I'm just excited. It's like knowing that your birthday's coming, and we're gonna work like dogs, but it's gonna be really special. And
yeah, Cody, this is how it goes, right? So like about 2 weeks out, it's not like you don't care, but you've put in the work, and it's gonna happen, whether you want it to or not. And the only comfort that you can have, like, instead of having anxiety about it, if you know in your heart you did everything you could to make it the best event possible for the attendees, because that's what it's all about, right? So check. And then, like, a week out, you start wondering what you forgot. And then fast forward, and it's, like, the day of, early in the morning, and everyone's moving around like worker ants, putting everything together, everything's rolling, and you just kind of like look around and you smile. And then honestly, you're on autopilot from there on, answering questions, doing whatever, saying hello to people. And it goes by so fast.
Right.
And
it's like a wedding day blackout.
Yeah. It's wild, man.
You know, I have some people that are like at Thai Fest, da da da. And I'm like, oh, you're going to come this year. And they're like, I was there last year. Remember we talked?
You want to talk about rolling like, with the punches?
I don't remember seeing you, you know?
Bro, rolling with the punches is the number one personality trait you need on Saturday. Because there's no telling what will happen. And you just...
Hey, Cody, the lights went out. This generator broke. Someone just tripped it. I'm just making shit up. None of this happened. But, you know, they tripped and broke their ankle going into the restroom.
Actually more.
You can't make it up. If something can go wrong at an event, it will.
Like, I wish I felt comfortable just saying one thing. I'm not going to, but it sounds just so ridiculous. And it would be like two sentences. But it would be the equivalent of like... is that somebody in a clown suit running by on fire with an ostrich chasing them?
Yeah, that's fine.
And that's tamer than what happened. And you're just like, I'll take care of it.
The response is like, I'm doing the silent auction sheets right now. They got printed backwards, so I don't have time for that. While the ostrich is like teeing off on the guy. I mean, that is the world. Anyone who's worked in events, they know.
Yeah, you're just like, no way. Like, yeah. Well, look, the last thing I'll say is I know there's a certain contingent of folks that kind of miss the old one in the Mid-Atlantic.
Sure.
And, you know, all I can say, and I mean this from like the bottom of my heart, is I don't have the capacity to do this by myself anymore. And it's, you know, 10x'd what it was. And I have to talk to a team now, and we all have to agree like what's best for the event. And you know, everything lined up, and it's going to be in Florida for a while, but you never know what the future holds. And the people in Florida deserve it just like the people in Maryland did for all those years. I can't do two, no way on earth that everyone would quit in a second if I said that. But you know, seriously, things evolve, things change. Lefty had a huge impact on that community down there, and it kind of seemed natural to me. So I know on a certain level it may stink that it's not, you know, in Maryland, but that's the best explanation I can give why I've gotten a lot of questions about that.
Well, it's so, also worth noting, Tony, I mean, I'm sure a lot of people watched from afar, jealous that it was in Maryland when it was going down the way it was now, right?
So, oh, for sure.
You want what you can't have type deal, and like there's to watch it move to Florida, I'm sure it's tough for people up there. And the reality is if it changed from Florida to Montana next year, I'd be really bummed. You know what I mean? It's like you said, it's an evolution, but it was really cool to see how many people were new to the event.
Yeah,
and how they operated last year felt like they were 15-year veterans, like they had been there every year. It was like, no, if this is Lefty's Thai Fest, I know what he stood for. He was important in my life. I knew him for 20 years in the Everglades and whatever. I know how this works.
Dude, it's funny you said that, because I had some people be like, man, I heard about this. that were like, hey, man, I heard about this back in the day when it was in Maryland and I could never make it. It's funny that you say that. And I'll say this with like my tongue firmly planted against the side of my cheek. You know, it's a lot cooler to be in Vero Beach in March than it is Maryland. Trust me when I tell you, a lot.
Yeah. And the sacrifices of Carter Andrews, his contributions to making this what it is, can't go stated enough. I think I heard someone chirping through the grapevine somewhere along the way many moons ago. Oh, look at this. What are you know, making money off? Okay, stop right there. If you're that knucklehead, no one has contributed to this event since its reimagination in Florida more than Carter. I mean, quite literally, contributions up the ass as far as take this, do this, let me call this, let me like. I want to help make this
in
what it
20
is.
Whatever years I've been doing this, no one has contributed more and been more of a gentleman to deal with on a day-to-day basis than Carter.
It is amazing.
Except for Lefty. I mean, Lefty did a lot. I have to take that back. But like right behind Lefty, like the true spirit of the event, everything that we said, you know, Blaine and I have said this on the podcast a million times. Lefty used to say it all the time. One of the million pearls of wisdom. You know, those old guys, they say crazy stuff. And then, like, you think about it and you hear it when you're young. You think about it when you're older and you're like, damn, they were right. Lefty's was the wind always blows highest at the top of the flag, strongest at the top of the flagpole. So, like, when you kind of reach the pinnacle or whatever, that's when you get, you know, the most scrutiny, the microscope's on you, you get the most criticism. And, man, I'll tell you what, man, like, you know, even in our little small world, it's true of the people at the tippy top. And what I'm telling you is you will not meet a finer gentleman or, you know, he's a dude's dude.
Yeah.
Carter
and Blaine and Rob and Andy and all these people, you see the names associated with this event. They are giving to this. They're giving in a way that's in the spirit of, you know, your friend, near and dear friend. Obviously, I did not personally know Lefty within my time, but proud to be somewhere within the ethos of who he believed in, what he believed in, and somewhere on that tree, though at the very bottom. But I'm not, you know, we are all different levels of spiritual and religious and view things different ways. But and I know Tony always jokes about his friends watching down on him, and if he is right now, he's a sick son of a bitch because he. I have played basketball for the better part of half of my life, maybe 2/3. I've been fouled by people that look like they're, you know, made of Greek. They're Greek statues or should be on the Monstars or something. The irony that my right hand broke and that we are planning this event and I only have my left hand for this is definitely not lost on me. So,
well, the funniest thing is he's not left-handed. He wasn't left.
Yeah.
That's the greatest. I ain't left-handed. Hey, Lefty, I'm left-handed. He's like, I ain't left-handed. Like, okay. I must have missed something there.
Yeah.
All right, y'all, listen, if you're coming, you're one of our vendors, you're one of our supporters, thank you from the bottom of my heart. If you're coming and you're an attendee, you know, we care about the experience that you have. We want it to be the best, just the best event you've ever been to. If you're supporting us at the dinner, thank you. It allows our science to go on. And, you know, it's just one of those things, man. Try and make it. It'll be worth your time.
If you can't, we're 2 weeks out. You know, tell a friend to tell a friend. The spirit of this thing runs so much deeper than where the ticket is purchased. What goes down under that tent, you know, is gospel. So appreciate all y'all. We'll see all y'all in 2 weeks. We'll do a recap after to let people, you know, how it goes. And we'll tell people about the ostrich and the clown on fire and whatever crazy shit goes down at this event. But, you know, we're a grassroots, rough and tumble kind of bunch. And we want people to understand that, you know, there's transparency to this thing. It's who we are. It's what we believe in. And a small group of people can put together something really, really cool if everyone comes to the table and says, what can I contribute? And that's what TIEFest has become. So hope to see everyone there in 2 weeks, March 21st in Vero Beach, Florida.